John chapter 21. The title of the message this morning is Renewed Fellowship with Jesus. You don't have to turn here. I'm just going to refer to it. Psalm 23, it presents the Lord as our shepherd, doesn't it? And it calls us His sheep. And that's a very special relationship. We talked about that, I think, before. As His sheep, or the sheep of His pasture, we have some things that we can count on. We have sustenance, don't we? He makes provision for our needs. We have His protection as our shepherd. As sheep are fairly defenseless animals. When you think of little lambs, they don't have claws, they don't have sharp teeth, they don't have ways to defend themselves. They rely on their shepherd to defend them. And so they've got protection, or we have protection as the sheep of the Lord. We have healing. And a shepherd, if you've read about much about the way shepherds tend to their sheep, they have healing things that they do them. If they get cut, if they get some injury, they go about gently helping to bring about healing for those sheep. So we have that as our Lord's sheep as well. We have eternal life because Jesus is our shepherd, don't we? And that's the best, we might say. But more than that, all of those things, we have the shepherd Himself. And that's what makes it special. As being the sheep of Jesus' pasture, we have the shepherd Himself. And everything is ours to enjoy. All of the benefits, the sustenance, the protection, the healing. I don't know what's happening with this microphone at this point. I apologize. Everything is ours to enjoy. And everything is good unless we at some point sense that our shepherd's not there anymore. As long as we have the shepherd, everything is good, isn't it? But as soon as we sense that there's something separating us from the shepherd, we don't enjoy life so much anymore, do we? Things aren't as pleasant as they used to be. We don't feel His protection anymore. The least little bit of noise can spook us, so to speak, as His sheep. And so that's a problem, isn't it? Now, Scripture teaches us that the Lord Jesus is always with us, doesn't it? He's never away. He's never outside of our reach. And yet there can be times when we sense that He's not as close, or we're not as close to Him as we used to be. And that's when the problems start. Some of the causes of that, you can probably name them off as well as I can. If there's sin in our lives, it separates us from our Savior, from our Shepherd. And we sense that separation. If there's too little Bible reading or too little prayer in our lives, that'll separate us as well, won't it? And we won't have that closeness to the Lord that we used to have. If there's too much emphasis on other things in the world other than our Lord, if we fail to put Him first, in other words, we'll sense that there's a separation between us, won't it? And that causes that anxiety. It causes a number of things, several of the results we can think of. One is, if we don't have that closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ, we can find that we have a lack of purpose. We just wander around, okay, what should I do now? Because think about it, sheep in a pasture go where the shepherd leads them, right? And by the way, the shepherds do not herd sheep, they lead sheep. That's a big difference. And so we can experience a lack of purpose. If we sense that separation, we can sense, or we can experience discouragement in our lives. And we've talked about that some on Wednesday nights recently. The different things that can be very discouraging to Christians. And so we can experience that if we don't have that closeness with the Lord. We can even find ourselves relapsing into old behaviors if we don't have that closeness with the Lord. Things that we used to enjoy doing, or things that maybe we used to be really good at. And we'll think, well, I'll just go do that again instead of serving the Lord, because there's not that closeness. So what's the remedy for all of those things? When those problems happen, it's very simple. We need a renewed fellowship with our Lord when that happens. We need for that separation to go away, and we need to get close to Him again. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about this morning, or we'll be talking about. Some of Jesus' disciples, I'm going to read about in John chapter 21, who were faced with a separation from Him. And we're going to look at how the Lord went about renewing that fellowship and drawing close to them again. Now, what we're going to be looking at in John 21 isn't a physical separation. Jesus' disciples had walked with Him, they had served with Him, they had essentially lived with Him for three and a half years. The events we're going to be looking at take place after His arrest, after His crucifixion, after His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He's appeared to them several times, or at least a couple of times prior to this. But at this point, they don't know where he is. They're separated. They're physically separated from the Lord. And so we're going to see what begins to happen in their lives. And then we're going to take a look at how the Lord restores fellowship with them. Now, what we face as Christians is a spiritual separation, not that physical separation. We haven't been walking side by side with Jesus Christ in a human body for 3.5 years. Our closeness with him is spiritual. But the way he goes about restoring fellowship to us when it's been lost, when there's that separation, is much the same for us. And so I think you'll see that as we go forward. So this morning I want us to start in John chapter 21. I'll start reading in verse 1. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias." That's another name for the Sea of Galilee. "And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? Now they're out on a boat in the Sea of Galilee, and I can see him maybe cupping his hands. Children, did you catch anything tonight? And their answer is, they answered him, No. Can you imagine? I'll stop here. Ask any fisherman, did you catch anything when you were out? And it's going to be, but they're going to say it much that same way. No. They're not, because there's not going to be any excitement in their voice. They're not going to say, No, I caught nothing. It's great. There won't be anything like that, will it? They simply said, No. Verse 6, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye've now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, or dared ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead." Let's pray. Father, we're going to look into this passage of Scripture in John's Gospel this morning. We ask you to open our eyes. There was a time when these seven disciples of Jesus were separated from him. They experienced that period of separation, and we're going to look at how Jesus renewed fellowship with them. And we pray that, Lord, as Christians, we might come away with some lessons for us, how the Lord works in our lives when we also experience a feeling of separation from him, and how he can renew fellowship with us. So we pray that this would be a valuable time. This morning, we ask that you'd speak to us from your word, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at two things. I want to look at when Jesus renewed fellowship with his disciples, or this group of disciples, and then I want us to look at how he went about renewing fellowship with them. First thing, when did he renew fellowship with the disciples? I want you to note in verse 3, he did it after a night of failure. Verse 3 tells us, "And that night they caught nothing." Now the story, we just read it. These disciples, they're together somewhere. Jesus is not with them. And so they're feeling this, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with myself. Because as long as Jesus was here, we knew what to do. He told us what to do. We were going around teaching people. We were watching him heal people. He was creating food out of nothing. He was raising people from the dead. And now, what do we do? And so Peter got a little fidgety. And he decided, well, I'm just going to go fishing. And the story tells us that six others went with him. So there's seven of them in all. And if we look at their names, it's Simon Peter, Thomas, the one that we often refer to as the doubter, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, who are James and John, and then a couple of others that aren't named. And so they decide they're going to go fishing. And apparently, according to the story, they fished all night. It was traditional, or it was the way they fished at that time. They would do it at night, not in the heat of the day. I don't know exactly why. I've not looked into that terribly. But they did it at night, and when sun came up, they'd stop. And they would bring the fish to land. They would sell the fish. They would clean their nets, mend their nets. And then the next night, it was a rinse and repeat kind of thing. They'd go back and do it again. And that's what they did. But that night, they didn't catch anything. Now, I want you to remember, they fished with no success. Remember now, several of these disciples used to be professional fishermen before the Lord Jesus called them. That's what they did for a living. And I can imagine them sitting there thinking, what are people going to say? We were out here all night. We didn't catch a single thing. But you know what? Their personal failure led them to a place where they were ripe for a meeting with Jesus, didn't it? As it often does us. When we reach the end of our rope, when we have been laboring without Him, when we've been doing without Him, and there is that separation, then it leads us to recognize our own failures, because we will fail way too often if we try to work without Him, won't we? And that's what prepares us. It just gets us ready for renewed fellowship with the Lord Jesus and for the blessings that come along with that renewed fellowship. So when did he renew his fellowship with them? Well, it was after a night of failure. And then I want you to note in verse 4, he met them, or he renewed fellowship with them, at the start of a new day. Verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. They've had a miserable night for a group of men that went out fishing. I can tell you this, there is absolutely no better way to end a miserable night than a morning with Jesus when he's standing on the shore waiting for you, is there? Nothing could be better than that. Have you ever had a similar experience? Sure you have. As Christians, we have these experiences. Dark times of failure, when we sense there's a separation between us and the Lord, and we're working, we're doing things, even things we used to be really good at before we were saved, maybe, and we're failing miserably because we don't have the Lord's presence with us. We've had that experience, haven't we? It's feeling like you're coming to this point, and you're like, okay, this is my life. I am a failure, period, the end. Because nothing seems to be working, right? You ever been there? If we're honest with ourselves, we probably all have. But isn't it good when you reach that point where you've said, okay, I'm a failure, the end. That's all my life. When you look on the shore, so to speak, and you see Jesus standing there, and he's got a pen in his hand, and he's starting to write a new chapter to your life. It's not over. You're not a failure. I'm about to come back into your life. I'm going to restore fellowship with you, and things are going to be better than you could have imagined all night long while you were fishing without me. Verse 4 says, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't know it was him. They didn't recognize. Sometimes when there's a separation between us and the Lord, the disappointments that come can dim our vision a little bit. And maybe we don't even recognize the Lord when he starts working in our lives. Maybe our vision is dim enough that something's going on, but we don't recognize the Lord's hand. But I think also sometimes the Lord remains purposely veiled, and he begins to work in our lives, and we don't even realize it's him because he's purposely keeping us from recognizing that it's him. He's waiting for us in times like that to reach that point of need. He's waiting for us to be ready for that renewed fellowship with him. And I think that's what he was doing in the lives of these apostles or these disciples. He allowed them to fish all night. He could have given them a good fortune all night long. They could have had more fish than they could imagine, but he let them struggle all night long. He let them fail. And then at first thing in the morning, after that night of failure, he comes alongside them. So that's when he renewed fellowship. Now let's look at how he renewed fellowship with these disciples. First thing I want us to see, look at verse 5. He led them to confess their failure. Verse 5 tells us, then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, as we saw, no. Note their honesty there. There's an old joke. There's certain jokes that we all have, right? That fishermen will never tell you the truth about what they caught. It's, you catch one this big, but when the story, the first time it's told, it's this big. And the next time it's this big, and it's this big. And we know that goes on. Well, note their honesty. Children, did you catch anything? No. I love that. And they spent all night fishing, and they had absolutely nothing to show for it, even though some of them were professionals at this. Can you imagine the questions, though, that must have been running through their minds, especially Peter? Peter liked to talk. Peter was, he was all the time bragging about something or just jumping right in. Can you imagine the questions he's having? Didn't we used to be good at this? I can imagine him looking at James and John. We used to do this for a living. What happened to us? You imagine, what are people going to think now when we come into this boat, on the shore with this boat, and it's empty? They're going to say, what happened, guys? Why didn't you catch any fish? Everybody else did. A pastor from a different generation many years ago, he had this to say. He said, they had taken nothing, so they made no attempt to make it look like something. Can't we all enjoy that type of honesty? When the Lord says, have you caught anything? If we haven't caught anything, we say no. I haven't caught anything. I haven't been successful. I've been a failure. And that's when the Lord can come alongside and he can begin to work in our lives, isn't it? That's when he can start to use a disciple. They had nothing for themselves. They caught nothing. They had also caught nothing, or they had nothing for anyone else. And that's part of what these commercial fishermen did. They didn't just go and catch fish for themselves. They caught fish for other people. They had nothing to show for it. They had nothing to offer. In their eyes, what they were hardened fishermen who had failed miserably. You can imagine that. You've been there before, haven't you? I've just failed the Lord miserably. In Jesus' eyes, these were softened clay who were ready to be molded into something successful, because he was able to use them. And so he comes alongside them. They needed to confess their failures before they're going to be ready for the Lord's work. And so that's what he led them to do. So how did he reveal himself to his disciples? First, he led them to confess their failures. Then he tested their faith. Look at verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I want you to remember, again, they'd been fishing all night long, and they hadn't caught a thing, had they? Morning was traditionally the time when the fishing ended. So I think the men, especially the professional fishermen on that boat, had no hope of catching anything at this point. If we fish these waters, there's nothing here. It's not going to do us any good. And yet, when Jesus said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, there was something about that man's words. They had no idea that it was Jesus. All they knew was it was some stranger on the beach calling out to him, well, cast the net on the other side of the ship. Those of you who are fishermen and you've been fishing for in your favorite spot for all night long, and someone says, well, you're not doing it right, do it the other way, what would your reaction be after a night of failure, after you haven't had anything to eat and you haven't had any sleep? I got a feeling it might not be a congenial response they would get out of you, right? They might get something a little ugly some days. But there was something about this stranger's words. Maybe they were authoritative. Maybe this man was, his words were encouraging. Look, if you'll just throw your nets on the other side, I know you're going to be successful. There was something about the way he said that. There was a ring of certainty in this man's words. There was no doubtful tones in what he said. Look, if you'll throw the net over there, you're going to get some fish. He's encouraging first thing in the morning, isn't he? Aren't Jesus' words always like that, though? Isn't that who he is? When he starts to draw close to us, he gives us those encouraging words. He speaks as one that has authority. If you'll do this, you'll get good results. If you do this, we'll be closer together. And you'll have the blessings of fellowship with your Lord if you'll just do this. And so he's testing them, isn't he? Have you ever known Jesus' words to let you down? Ever once? Never. He never lets us down, does he? They encourage us, don't they? But Jesus' words do more than encourage us. They test us, don't they? Because you see, when Jesus speaks, we can't just hear what he says and walk away. That we're never going to be the same. When he speaks to us, we either accept what he says in obedience and receive the blessings of that, or we reject what he says in disobedience and we suffer the consequences, we suffer the loss. Can you imagine what would have happened if they had said, no, we're not going to cast the net over there. We got this. We're going to stay out here and fish a little bit longer, but we're going to do it the same way we've been doing it all night. You think they'd had any luck? They'd been doing it the same way all night, I presume, and they hadn't had any results. And he said, look, follow my lead here. Do what I'm asking you to do. Obey. He's testing their faith to see if they would do it. And then we see the third way he renewed fellowship with them. He led them to confess their failure, then he tested their faith, and then he turned their failure into success. Look at the middle part. Look at verse 6. It says, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Their obedience was rewarded with abundance. More fish than they knew what to do with. The net was so big, it was so full of fish, they couldn't even get it into the boat with them. They had to drag it to shore behind the boat. Question. Several questions, actually. What changed? I guess one question, several answers. What changed? They've been doing this all night long. They've been casting this net all night long. There's nothing there. What changed this morning when Jesus had cast it on the right side of the boat? Was it that that Jesus knew where the fish were? Yes. He knew where the fish were. He's the Lord. He's the Son of God. Of course he knew where the fish were. He knew where they were all night. And I submit to you, he was keeping them away from wherever their net was all night long to get these men ready. So what else changed? Is it because the fish entered the net at the command of their master? Yes, exactly that's what happened. When he said, you cast that net over there, I'll drive the fish into there for you. He sent them 153 fish, according to the text. He could have sent them 1,053 fish if that's what he had chosen to do, couldn't he? So yes, of course, the fish answered the command of their master. But more importantly, what changed? Seven fishermen reached the end of their ability. They had done all they could, but they failed. They had reached the end of their ability, and they obeyed the only one who could help them. They didn't recognize him at the time, but they were about to. They were about to recognize who this was that had said, cast that net over there. Look at verse 7, the first portion of it. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it's the Lord. Can you imagine? I suspect there was a lot more excitement in those words than when Jesus asked, did you catch any fish? The answer was no. I can imagine at this point, John, who, by the way, is the one, he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. It's the Apostle John. I can imagine looking at Peter and saying, that's the Lord. That's who that is over there talking to us. And I used to read this and I thought, I'd read this term, the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's the way John referred to himself in the Gospel of John. And we can also always think, and some people may think, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? Among all the other disciples, John says, I'm the one whom Jesus loved. I don't think it was arrogance. I think it was a reminder. I think it's the same kind of reminder that we tell our children to remind themselves, Jesus loves me, this I know. And I think John was saying, I'm the one he loves. I know he loves you guys too, but I'm the one he loves. And so that's what he's saying. He says, that's the Lord. He did not, I believe, recognize Jesus by his appearance. If Jesus' appearance was such that they could have recognized him, all the rest of those guys would have as well. I think you recognize him by his methods, because it's just like Jesus to turn our total defeat into unprecedented success, isn't it? That's just like what Jesus does. They had seen him do this year after year as they administered to him. It's just like Jesus to work through his word being given and being believed on and being acted upon. And that's what they had done. He had given them a command, or he had given them instructions. Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some fish. They believed what this man on the shore had told them. They acted on it, and now they've been blessed because of that. Isn't that the way the Lord works with us? Even when there's separation between us, we sense that there's a separation between us and the Lord, he can begin to renew that fellowship, and he gives us instructions, and he says, if you'll obey me, we'll restore that fellowship, and we'll be close again. And so that's what we're looking at this morning. That's always been how the Lord works through his people, isn't it? He gives his words, we believe on them, and we obey them. We act on them. So how did he renew fellowship with them? He led them to confess their failure. He tested their faith. He turned their failure into success. And then we see a fourth thing. He provided for their needs. Verse 9. look at this. It says, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus was, at this time, in his resurrected body. Don't believe he needed any food at all. But he took note of the fact they did need food. They'd been out fishing all night long. It was time for some breakfast. And he made a provision for that need, didn't he? Isn't that how he always deals with his people, though? He gives us what we need. He is our shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. He has obligated himself to meet our needs. And we'll go back to Psalm 23, verse 1. It tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David had that same attitude as John. John says, I'm a disciple whom Jesus loved. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we can say those same things, can't we? Philippians 4:19 tells us, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It is through the Lord Jesus that our needs are met. So he's obligated himself to meet our needs. And we won't ever have a need that Jesus can't meet, will we? Have you ever had one he couldn't meet? No. Will you ever have a need he can't meet? No, absolutely not. Because he can meet them all. But we can miss his blessing if we disobey him and if we fail to follow his offer of help and his offer of blessing. They could have said, no, we're done for the night. We're not casting this net anywhere else, whether it's the right side of the ship, the left side, the front, the back, it doesn't matter. And they would have lost this blessing, wouldn't they? But they obeyed him. So if we reject his offer of help, we can miss his blessing. Or if we insist on doing things our own way. They could have said, no, as I said earlier, they could have said, no, we're going to keep fishing the way we've been doing. We're doing pretty good. We've only been out here eight hours and not caught anything. I mean, give us another 30 minutes. I know what's going to happen. It would sound like somebody playing a slot machine, wouldn't it? I have dumped $300 into this thing, but I got another bucket of quarters here. I know it's going to happen any time now. That would have been foolish, wouldn't it? And so they followed him. If they had insisted on doing things their own way, they wouldn't have had the blessings. So we're talking about Jesus revealing himself or renewing fellowship with them. We see he's led them to confess their failure. He's tested their faith. He's turned their failure into success. He's provided now for their needs. And then we see that he had fellowship with them. That's how he renewed this time. He brought himself closer. He renewed or he had fellowship with them. Verse 10 tells us, Jesus saith unto them, bring in the fish which you've now caught. Bring some of those fish you caught. You were out here all night. I told you to cast a net. You did it. Now bring some of those fish and let's have some of them. Let's enjoy the benefit of you having obeyed, of you having done what I ask you to do. Verse 12 says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Let's eat together. Let's have some fun. We'll have some fellowship. We'll renew this acquaintance. We'll draw close to each other again. And then verse 13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. For these men, it had been a long, hard night. They've been fighting the net all night long. They've been trying this and that. They've been moving the boat from one place to another. I thought this would be a good spot. It's not. Let's go to a different spot. We'll try there. Nothing happened. Jesus recognized how hard they had been working, even though it had been unsuccessful. He still does that with his people, doesn't he? He may tell us, he's given us the Great Commission. He's told us to go and witness to people. We may witness and witness and witness. Missionaries, you hear about doing this oftentimes, they'll go to a place and they will preach for years without a single convert. And then maybe there'll be one person in a little town or a village where they're ministering who will come to know Jesus as Savior. And they'll start having a Bible study. And then maybe 6 months later, there'll be another person. And they just trickle in. Jesus recognized all of their labor, even though it might not have seemed successful to worldly standards. And then he said, I'm going to lead you to success. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Just obey me, follow me, and I will lead you to success. And he provided them after that with a time of refreshment, a time of rest, a time of renewed fellowship with him. We all need that sometimes, don't we? Because we all will grow farther and farther apart from Jesus at certain points in our lives. When we realize there's not that closeness that there used to be. And Jesus will draw back to us if we'll obey him, if we will seek him, he will renew fellowship with us. In short, what we see in this story is he met them where they were, which was after a night of abject failure, and he brought them where they needed to be, back to that closeness with him, that time of fellowship with him. And what they had all needed, or what they had needed all along, wasn't to go fishing, was it? They just got fidgety because they didn't know what to do. But it wasn't fishing that they needed all along. It was renewed fellowship with their Lord. And Jesus recognized that and he brought it back to them. Now, does that apply to us? Of course it does. When we draw farther and farther from the Lord, we may get fidgety like Peter and we may start looking for other things. We may go back to some comfort zone that we used to have. And we may start trying to do things that we were really successful at before, but doing it without the Lord. And we may suffer these same kind of failures. And it's then when the Lord can come back and he can bring us back and he can begin to give us the instructions through his word and through the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. This is what I need you to do. This is what will bring you success. And he can renew fellowship with us because that's the way he works, isn't it? I want you to look at verse 12 as we draw to a close. It says that no one asked who he was. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, or none of them dared to ask him, who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. They knew who it was. By the time they got to shore, they recognized him. How did they recognize him? By his way of working in their lives. They recognized him because he led them to confess their failure. Isn't that what the Lord asks of us? If sin has crept into our lives, what does he ask us to do? Confess it. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive those sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So they recognized that's the way he leads. They recognized him because he tested their faith. Isn't that what Jesus does to us? He gives us instructions and then says, are you going to obey me or not? Are you going to walk away and reject what I've asked you to do, or are you going to obey me? You remember what he said? If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I ask you to do. They recognized his way of working in their lives because he blessed them with success once they did obey him, once they followed his leading. They recognized his way of working because he provided for their needs. They were hungry, and so he had something for them to eat. They may have been chilled out there. I can imagine that Peter might have been chilled. He's the one that jumped in the water and swam to shore. Jesus had a nice fire going there. He had some fish, some bread. He says, come on over here, warm yourself by the fire. Let's catch up. That's what the Lord does to us, isn't he? He says, when there's been that separation, he says, come along over here. Come and dine. Let's catch up a little bit. And they recognize his way of working by the fact that he invited them to that level of fellowship again. That's what they needed. That's what we all need when we wander away from the Lord Jesus, isn't it? I want to ask you, if you will, this morning, close your eyes, if you will. Let's bow. We're going to be having prayer. If you would, just bow. I want to talk to you, though. I want to say just a few things. To Christians, he still deals with us that very same way, doesn't he? We don't have to endure separation from him. If you are a child of God, he can turn your failures into his successes if you're obedient and you're willing to follow him. He can do that. And you can have a renewed fellowship with him any time you want. We all can. And if you sense a distance between you and the Lord, I would ask you this morning, search your heart. If you sense a distance between you and the Lord, why not ask him to bring you to that place of renewed fellowship this morning? Ask him to start working in your life, to show you what you need to do, just like he did these disciples, and draw you close. But also say this morning, if there's anyone here today, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you, would you do that today? Would you draw near to the Lord? If he's speaking to your heart this morning, if the Holy Spirit's drawing you, would you submit yourself to him? I want you to be aware of something. There's a danger of continually turning away from the Holy Spirit's calling. If he's called you in the past, if he's calling you now to repent, don't turn away from it, because every time you do, it becomes easier to ignore his moving in your heart later. And I don't want to see that happen to anyone, because one day he may withdraw altogether. It is possible for the Holy Spirit to walk away from someone who has continued to reject him. Hebrews 12:25 says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, don't turn away. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7 say, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." If you're here this morning, you haven't trusted Christ, I'd invite you to do that today. You can do it right where you sit. Pray to the Lord. Ask him to save you. Submit yourself to him. Yield to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for allowing us to look into this message this morning. I thank you, Father, for the words of the Apostle John. I thank you for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, even after his resurrection, joining himself to these men who had failed so miserably in what they were attempting, and renewing fellowship with them. I thank you for the way he worked in their lives. He led them to confess their failure, and then he showed them the way they could have success. We thank you for that, because, Lord, we believe that is the way the Lord Jesus works in our lives too. Please move among this congregation today, Father. If there are Christians here who have recognized that there's a separation between them and the Lord Jesus, we pray that they would seek to close that gap, to restore and renew that fellowship with the Lord. But if there's anyone here this morning who's never trusted Jesus Christ, would you speak to that heart, Lord? Would you draw them to yourself? Don't let them turn away from the moving of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Save today, Father, as only you can. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.